Our film critic Harlan Jacobson just returned from the 71st Cannes Film Festival. It's the highest platform for film art on planet Earth. So what did he do there? See if you can guess.
Good going, hon!
We need to divert auxiliary power to the rear deflector shield.
We definitely do.
When do you know how to fly? 190 years old? You look great.
Chewie, get in. I'll help Lando.
Sound familiar? It should. It's beyond familiar. It's the opposite of whatever long ago in a galaxy far away is. Solo, a Star Wars story, is the 10th installment in George Lucas's saga begun in 1977. Even the title is generic. Solo? A Star Wars story? That's like Memorial Day sale at General Motors, a sedan. I saw Solo at Cannes, where it had its world premiere, and from what I read in the trades, probably didn't help itself in terms of placing high on the list of opening weekend box office, which has become a kind of sport that's replaced asking what a film is up to. Revenge of the Sith premiered at Cannes 2005, where Lucas was given a special award in a ceremony on board the Queen Mary II, which anchored at Cannes and looked like the Death Star compared to the film mogul's puny yachts. I've been wanting to say that about the film mogul's puny yachts for 13 years, especially because the captain of the Queen Mary II let me sit in his captain's chair on the bridge as long as I promised not to put it in gear. I'm so easily bought. Sith went on to gross $849 million worldwide. My guess is Disney won't hit that amount with this backstory about the young Han Solo in a Star Wars chapter written by Larry and Jonathan Kasdan, father and son, dad of the Big Chill, Silverado, and Raiders of the Lost Ark reputation. Here, the Kasdans hijacked a little of the Indian Cannes sensibility and made Solo a story about characters, not an intergalactic battle between the light and the dark. Or so they said when I stopped in and saw them at the Carlton Hotel.
You know, to the extent that it can be, this is a character story.
Yes.
And the others aren't really. You know, they're great characters, but it doesn't depend on that. It really depends on that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the relationship between people changes in ways that they don't expect, and there is real betrayal.
And though, you know, every other Star Wars movie, including Rogue and Last Jedi, they are really built on this polarity between the light and the dark. You know, and we wanted to say, okay, we're going to write one that doesn't going to have any force in it, and it's going to be about characters who are totally in the middle, and they're got a little of both.
Even the force is on sabbatical. If you reel it all the way back to the original 1977 Star Wars, long ago and truly in a galaxy far away, you could see that it was a game changer. Had you understood Star Wars correctly in 1977, you'd have understood that the era of the anti-hero was over, and a new era of American power, along with a sense of military strength, was on its way back. Jimmy Carter was toast, Ronald Reagan had the pulse. Americans wanted Mustangs that went at warp speed, armies dressed up like refrigerators, and everyone packing firepower that was beautiful to look at. The series has gotten progressively less interesting, but no less profitable, to the generation or two that it began with in 1977, which has thinned its ranks to fanboys. Younger generations have responded to the series' shifting, fractured family structure that mirrors their experience and clicked in on what was a prescient articulation of the digital world to come, and that is now pretty much standard fare in the electronic landscape the post-millennial kids have grown up in. I'm not certain that Solo even satisfied a can looking for what little Hollywood razzmatazz it could find, after glamour seems to have run off with someone else and left can in both the good and bad positions of saying it was shaking things up and showcasing the work of new filmmakers. The film passed through Cannes with barely a ripple, bringing no stars to speak of for a festival that has gone on a star-free diet, except maybe for the competition jury headed by Cate Blanchett, with a supporting role for juror Kristen Stewart. Star Wars only left behind some standard party fireworks to remember what it used to be like here long ago. Yada yada, or Yoda Yoda. Okay, you want to know how Han Solo got his last name? It's in this 10th chapter. How about how Han and Chewbacca met? That's here too. As insiders from a bygone era like to say, they meet cute in a man-eating beast pit. The world cannot resist a fresh-faced young American with a smart mouth on him. And on that score, Alden Ehrenreich dependably cracks wise in dire circumstances on the big green screen. And he speaks Wookiee. Now, how many post-adolescents in the galaxy speak Wookiee? I mean, exactly none. Chewie, guess we know how he got that name, looks pretty young and skinny here, like a discount carpet remnant. We will forgo speaking about the wonderful interpretation ex-basketball player Yunusu Otamo brings to the Chewie role he inherited from Peter Mayhew, because honestly, nobody can tell. R2-D2 and C-3PO lie ahead or behind. On the periphery of the action is comedian Donald Glover, who's established himself in the TV series Atlanta as a pretty hot property, taking on the role here of Lando Calrissian, whose character is central to not very much, but serves at least as Han's poker rival in the hot boy department and presumably figures into future episodes the series is busily setting up on your dime now. What we do know is that Han and Chewie become more inseparable than Han has ever been with any woman through all 10 chapters, and you could go Oscar Wilde with that. But in Solo, we meet his first girlfriend, Kira, as played by Emilia Clarke, best known from Game of Thrones. Did we mention that the film is directed by Ron Howard, who stepped in after the previous co-directors were fired? Howard seems practiced at running an army, but none of this is as interesting as his real race car film, Rush, about Niki Lauda and James Hunt 5 years ago. John Powell's score is ever-present, dropping in for a few bars from John Williams at key feel-good moments of blasting into warp speed. There's no point in talking about theme or subtext or adult stuff like auteur vision in Solo. Solo is not the holy grail match of art and commerce. Unlike the first Star Wars, Solo lands in a world where it neither addresses present longing, nor the unfulfilled yearning to restore American legitimacy in the universe, nor even offers much escape in a Ford that can fly sideways. That's the main constant in this film for 2.25 hours in series. Fords fly upside down and sideways. Right now, folks, CNN is offering a better cast of bad guys, freaks, heroes, and heroines in the making, rogue generals, general scoundrels, and soldiers of fortune and foot, plus a true reincarnation of Jabba the Hutt, remember him, every night, for free. And I'm Harlan Jacobson, back from the Cannes Film Festival.